What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo podcast. We have a match review of Chelsea 0, Nottingham Forest 1. Usual specimens are here, usual suspects. We've got ourselves a wild Tikitoka Tobes. How you doing, mate?
Been better. They've managed to ruin our weekend. Sensational from them, to be fair. I didn't really see it coming to this, to as bad a result as it was. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it in a minute, but obviously we were joined by the most rational and sensible man that can be on any Chelsea podcast and balances out the stupidity that is me and Tobes. It's Tom. Yeah. Hi.
Hi. Don't be so harsh on yourselves. You're not stupid. You're just passionate.
Well, you should fucking see half the shit that I've been given on Twitter over the past 12 hours because I was rational somehow. But look, let's just go straight into it, lads. Talk to me. Just talk to me. Just start. What the fuck happened?
Well, I think you should probably speak first, mate, as you were there.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's just in the story of Chelsea since a certain Italian with a cigarette started trying to get us to play pretty football all the time in 2018. A need to walk the ball into the net, a lack of aggression in the final third, and I look like people can. I think this is the first game this season where I was a bit like, this was awful. And I know a lot of people are incredibly angry, and they're already looking at, look what happened in the West Ham game. We lost that. We drew against Liverpool. We've won one game in four. This is absolutely disgusting, blah, 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 blah. This is the only game out of every single game this season where I truly feel like we were looking like shades of last year.
Agreed.
The whole game, I thought, you know, actually, you know what? I'm going to be very precise with my number here. The first 28 minutes, I thought we were absolutely brilliant. I thought we were great. You could see the way that Poch wants to play his football with that aggressive press was really coming through. You know, we were winning the ball high up the pitch. When we lost it, we won it back within about 3 seconds every single time. I thought Connor was a great example of that. You know, he wasn't quite the Labrador he usually is. I thought he was actually quite intelligent with how he was trying to win the ball back with that energy. I thought Caicedo was doing a great job. And then Enzo was kind of floating about, picking stuff up further up the pitch to make those passes through to Sterling and Jackson, both of which were great. And then afterwards, we just slowly dropped off again. And it was like, I don't know what it is. We got to the final third and we froze again. And we kept trying to walk it in rather than what we were doing in the first few minutes where we were just having a go, really going for it. It was disappointing, I think, more than anything. And then the frustration really set in when, you know, all the subs started coming on. There just seemed to be no pattern to how we were doing things. It just seemed to completely capitulate. You know, taking off Malo Gusto, who was probably our best player, in my opinion, yesterday, I thought was interesting. Taking off Chilwell as well, and then throwing on Mudryk and Madueke. Madueke, who, if I'm being honest, like I've said for the past few pods, you know, you can see there's a great young player there, but he runs down blind alleys, and the only reason people rate him was because, in comparison to other people last year, he was trying. That's what it looked like. Well, yesterday, he was doing exactly the same. He was trying, but he was going down a blind alley and wasn't really getting anywhere. It was incredibly frustrating to watch. And it just shows there was a real lack of cohesion. But for me, look, the reason I'm annoyed but not overly upset is because I know and I'm mentally preparing myself for the fact that we are going to be seeing so many more games like this year because of our policy of signing players under 25. There was no leadership on that pitch when we went 1-0 down. Thiago Silva can't pick up 10 men on his own. He can't do it. And it just showed when the chips are down, when you're facing a low block and it's young players who have a lot of energy, which is great. They just didn't have the nous. They just didn't have the necessarily the skills to, you know, to really seize those opportunities when it was given. And they're going to be learning on the job. So realistically, we've got to prepare for more stuff like this. But overall, it wasn't great. The goal was one mistake, and it cost us. And I'm not even going to bother talking about Nicholas Jackson's miss because, you know, that happens. It's going to happen. Every centre forward has one of those moments, and it just happened to be yesterday for Nicholas Jackson. But yeah, it was not a performance which I think a lot of people were expecting, but hopefully it's an eye-opener for the reality that we are going to be facing this year, in my opinion.
I don't know if we'll face it as frequently as maybe, you know, like suggested. I think this will be something that it's a problem-solving issue. We need to find solutions. And it's interesting some of what you said, I thought, because I actually think, to be honest, particularly yesterday, a lot of our problems lies in those more experienced players, if I'm honest. I don't want to see five defenders on the pitch now. Like, again, I just don't want to see it. I understood it against Liverpool. We talked about that before, that it seemed to be a bit of a last-minute change because they had a lot of attackers on. I get it in cases like that. If you're going away to the Bernabeu, I get play Chile left wing for a bit of extra defensive cover that we're not really getting anyway. We're conceding goals every game. If you want to play a whole five, it's to kind of, you know, protect your goal, and we're not doing that anyway. So you might as well play four and play some wingers there, because, like you said, in the first half an hour of the game, even the first half, to be honest, I was actually happy with the performance. I thought Casado did look very good. I thought they were winning the ball very well, and they were progressive with it. Enzo put in a couple down the left. I remember Chilwell cut one back and Jackson didn't get on the end of it. There was one where Sterling sort of dallied a bit. I don't know if he was waiting for Jackson's run to cut it back. There were little half shot. Enzo had a shot over the bar. There was little half chances, glimpses, not much. Again, we struggle a little bit with the low block, but I think we would benefit from having more attackers on the pitch. I think they pose more threats than. And this isn't Chilwell's fault. I know there are a lot of people online slandering shit at the moment. I just don't want to play him left wing. I don't mind if he plays left back in the back four, but I don't want to see a left back on the wing when we have wingers. And like you said, I know Mudryk and Madueke are raw, but the more minutes that they get, the better they'll get, and the better they'll get at problem solving. So this is something for Poch to ponder over the international break. I'd be really disappointed if we come back and we're playing this. If we're playing Chilwell on the wing still again, and, you know, with Badiashile back, I wouldn't mind him coming in for Thiago. I actually thought Thiago yesterday, every time, because even in the first half, as good as we were and as dominant possession-wise we were, every time they knocked it long, I thought Awoniyi was bullying Thiago, to be honest. There was a foul he gave away for a set piece, which is what they were looking for and playing for, and Thiago kind of fell into that. And I think Awoniyi kind of almost should have scored from that chance, from the subsequent set piece. It was like you said, it was disappointing because there was a bit of deer in headlights after they scored. And the mistake was annoying because Casado had a good first half. Obviously, a bit of a mix-up with him and Connor there. And then, yeah, I get Thiago sort of froze. It happened against West Ham where he kind of stepped up and was kind of caught in no man's land, and Awoniyi just stuck it through his legs. So it was a bit disappointing. And like I said, I wouldn't mind Badiashile because I think we're a bit more quick to progress the ball forward. Like I said, Thiago's been a great player for us and everything, but sometimes I think we can get a bit slow on the ball. We can get a bit sideways because it just takes a little bit longer to build up. Whereas you see Colwell firing those balls forward and being a bit more progressive. Sometimes I think, just as he's aged a bit, Thiago maybe takes a couple too many touches and that kind of thing. And I think Badiashile doesn't quite do that. So those are some changes I would like to see. So weirdly, I'd probably be going for a less experienced side, if anything, but one that I feel can pose more threats. And it might get a bit basketball-y at points. It might, you're going to concede goals. But if we're doing that anyway, at least we'll be creating more and we'll be scoring more as a consequence. Like you said, it was a shame Jackson had his miss yesterday. I did think that was definitely his worst game so far. There was another one where Enzo played a really good pass between someone's legs and he was in the middle of the box. It was like, shoot, just put your foot through it. We don't need to dribble everything and over-dribble. And like you said, since Sarri ball, it's all trying to walk it in. Like, I don't mind. Like, I didn't even mind. I kind of laughed, to be honest, because there was better options. So when Mudryk had a shot from like 40 yards, I was like, at least someone fucking shot. And it looked like a decent shot. Hit that Yates guy in the head. I don't know how many fouls he had to make to get a yellow. Not that I'm going to blame that on him, but that was doing my head in the first half. But yeah, it was really frustrating because it was a really silly goal. And they didn't deserve to lose that game. Like, the result's really bad. And they didn't play. And I didn't watch a team that deserved to lose the game, but they didn't do enough to win it. And they could have done enough to win it. Mm. Like you said, it was a lot of... I just feel for these wingers, though, in a way, because as much as you said, like, it's frustrating, they're not getting quite things right. I think when you keep putting these... Like, we haven't had the luxury. If when we were good and you're 3-4 new up and you give these young wingers or whoever it is, young players, 10-15 minutes here and there to go and enjoy the game when you're 3-4 new up and, you know, the confidence, everyone's sky high. We're giving these players minutes to go change the game, 10 minutes. You've got to change the whole game on its head. And often from behind, it's not even like we're drawing and they've got to go get a winner. It's like, right, you've got to try and contribute two goals because we're getting a shocking result here. I think that's quite hard to do, given the circumstances. I want to see these players starting so that they can get better and then we don't have to face these problems quite so much or we'll become a lot better at dealing with them, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that I've been saying since the Liverpool game, actually. Obviously, we went a goal down there and managed to find our way back in, but the mentality thing that's been a problem at Chelsea for a few years now, where it's sort of heads just drop and it's kind of... I don't know whether it started with the fans or went into the players or what, but it's obviously the atmosphere at Stamford Bridge has now become like that. We concede and immediately it's, you know, there's negativity. And as Raz said in his like Cole Palmer thing, you know, you can they react to the crowd. Obviously, if the crowd get back with them, they start playing better. I'm not blaming the crowd, obviously. But there's a mentality thing, I think. You know, when we go a goal down, heads drop. And I don't know who the player is, the person is, to pick them up. You know, it's going to happen now when you've got loads of 20, 21-year-olds. You know, the average age of the team yesterday was like 22 or something. It's going to happen. These results are going to happen, like Louis said. But it's about... I guess, like, again, Lewis said, learning on the job and making sure it doesn't happen again. And, you know, I hope they have a good debrief of why did that happen? Why could we not go and score a goal against Forest? And, okay, yeah, they've got 10 men behind the ball. We had a couple of chances we probably should have taken. But then you've got to think, you know, why are we not taking these chances? And why are we letting Awani bully us a bit when we know what he can do? That's what he's done all season. So, you know, he had 7-7 before that game. So if we're not kind of pointing him out as a key man, I don't really know what we're doing before the game. But, you know, it's annoying. It's an annoying result, obviously, because it kind of destabilises what felt like a good week. A couple wins, finished the transfer window well, and then, you know, back to this, and it's like £1 billion spent, but same old Chelsea kind of thing, which is not a great feeling, especially going to international break now as well, because it's 2 weeks till Bournemouth. So, you know, that's maybe not a bad thing. 2 weeks to kind of figure it out. And obviously Sterling's not going on international break, so he can kind of train with the team. A few players not going, which, again, probably not a bad thing, given how young they are and everything. So, yeah, it's an annoying result, I think, more than anything. But it is only the fifth game, I suppose, if you count Wimbledon under Poch. So, you know, it's not that surprising with a brand new squad, a brand new manager, that we're going to lose a few games that we probably shouldn't. It's just a bit annoying that it's come in that manner where we couldn't even score a goal. But, you know, we move. But it does put pressure on Poch and the team for Bournemouth, which is a game we kind of traditionally not enjoyed that much. But we're going to have to go down there on in 2 weeks today and get 3 points and hopefully play well in the process.
I do want to pick up on one thing there. You said the players react to the crowd. I have a bone to pick with, I mean, this is just around me, 7 or 8 guys who are just... I'm trying to articulate it without getting too angry, but I think it was just vile and it was disgusting and it was just fucking insulting. Just banding around the Y word at Poch, you know, throwing things at Poch after one bad result, which was something which I always knew was going to be a case we were worried about. But there's literally someone sitting behind me when I'm saying, you know, we're talking about Poch, and then suddenly he's like, I'm not going to sit to him. Why? Spurs. I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, what are we going in around here?
Yeah, I'm not sure on that. I agree with that one. It's like Hoddle with Spurs, wasn't he?
Exactly. And that's the logic I tried to say. Yeah, well, you know, he changed. I'm like, what's to say that Pochettino can't do that? You know, the whole situation. And then also Twitter, by the way. Like, I know this is a bit rich coming from a guy who started his entire media career by losing his shit on the internet. I know it's extremely, extremely hypocritical, some people might look at, but I have grown and I have aged about 8 years in that process. So during that whole thing, everyone, I'm sorry, I don't give a shit if they're doing it for their blue ticks. I don't care about your revenue. The attitude and the mentality of a lot of Chelsea Twitter was disgusting last night. It was vile. People looking at it and just going, we've spent £1 billion and people are telling us to chill out. We lost to West Ham. We lost to Nottingham Forest. These teams are lower than us. No, they're not. Forest probably, I think, I haven't even looked at the table since yesterday, so I don't even know where Forest are in comparison to us. But West Ham haven't lost a game this season. They've been playing some great football, and you can only take a season for face value. I get that everyone's still wounded from last year, but the mentality, it was vile. And we're going to go through the same process we had last year, where we've got 15 new players joining. This is basically a brand new squad. I saw a couple of potential 11s.
It's completely ripped up.
Exactly. I saw a couple of potential 11s for the Bournemouth game, right? Not a single player was there from the Abramovich era. Not a single one. And only one was on the team sheet that was bought last summer. And people are expecting us to just get results straight away. Oh, well, you know, we don't have European football. Oh, well, in the international break, we can do this. Well, he gets a whole week on the training pitch with players. Yeah, but he's only had a whole week with the players, with this full squad, by the way, for the transfer is closed. He's had 24 fucking hours. Like,
and I
wouldn't
even say that because we are missing a number of players. Like we said this after West Ham. That's why it's not panic stations. What was more a worry that you brought up earlier was more that it looked a bit like last season. That second half, it was a bit like our heads down. And like Tom pointed out, with the Liverpool game, the heads didn't go down. Tails were still up. That's how it needs to be. That's how this team needs to evolve. They need to get past this idea that the game's done because you've let in a goal. The best teams will always turn around games. And, you know, it will come over time. And those 65 minutes Reece will play when he comes back will look incredible. But, yeah.
Does he get in the team?
Missing him. Pardon?
Does he even get in the team?
Yeah, I thought Malagusto was great as well. But, yeah, Reece James always gets into the team.
Does he?
Yeah, because Chelsea with Reece James create chances. Chelsea with Reece James score goals. They're just a better team, and that's just a reality. Malagusto, I thought defensively he was quite good yesterday. I agreed, but like he doesn't offer you the same level of threat going forward. The amount of times on the overlap where maybe okay, Nonny was going down a bit of blind alleys, but he's there for that overlap to give him at least an option. So perhaps he wouldn't be doing that quite so much. I know Gusto come off, but you get my point. Yeah, he makes those runs a lot more and the balls are more consistent. But we are, you know, I think that and Nkunku injury quite clearly really changed something with Poch, just because this doesn't look like pre-season. And I don't mean that in the sense that obviously the games are more intense, they're going to be harder, of course they are. But in terms of what we were seeing him practice, we're not really seeing that. Like, I can't understand the Chilwell left wing thing. I don't get it. I don't get what we're gaining from that. And it only lends itself to people being, you know, sensationalist in being critical of Chilwell. It's like, that's not where he plays. That's not where he plays. And we have wingers. So that bit, it doesn't make sense to me. And I think we will see at least some progression from that, especially if you're doing it on a consistent basis. Look, if you play these Medwekes and Mudricks and whoever for a stretch of time and they're starting games and a few months down the line we're looking and going, no, they are shit. Fair enough. But the point is that at least you played them and you're giving them a chance to develop. And they're not going to get anything other than confidence knocked just with, like I said, 10 minutes, change the game. It's not helping anyone.
You've got to play. The only way to get better when you're young and get accustomed to the Premier League is playing. Look at Billy Gilmore last night. What a performance. Incredible.
Yeah.
Because he's been playing a lot at Brighton and he's been getting used to playing the Premier League. And obviously Brighton are in a much different place from us at the moment. They're very confident. Their tails are up. They're winning games. They look good. They're playing De Zerbi ball.
They're settled. Yeah.
Exactly.
Can't wait for us to fork out half a billion on Gilmore and fucking Ferguson.
On Evan Ferguson. But yeah, I mean, just from a... We have to just let these players play. Trust them. You know, we bought them all in. We spent all this money. So what's the point in now not playing them and bringing them on for 10 minutes here and there? Play them. And if they're not good enough, then that's the problem we'll have to deal with. But I think you've got to have seen enough so far, definitely from Madueke, that if he keeps getting chances and gets accustomed to the Premier League properly, not 10 minutes here and then you can play Wimbledon and then you get 10 minutes again, then, you know, I think we've seen enough that he can become good. Cole Palmer's another one. I know he signed the day before.
I like to see that him 15 start. Minutes from him.
Yeah. Good. I thought he looked sharp. I think, you know, if we're going to play a completely different brand of football from what we did in pre-season because Nkunku's out and he didn't feel, and obviously then Chukwuemeka's out and he kind of doesn't feel like he has anyone he can trust to properly play the 10 role, I'd like now that to be Palmer and given that opportunity to thrive and play in the 10 role and go back to the 4. Chilwell and James are unbelievable players in their positions, albeit they've obviously thrived as being wing-backs in a 5. There's no way they are so good they can play in a four and they can be kind of overlapping whoever decides to go forward, who doesn't, whatever. But they are very good in their position. They're not left wingers or right wingers. So that needs to change, as you've said already. I think you've got to back these centre-backs. If you're buying centre-backs that you don't think can play in a four, they're not good enough to play in a four, then why are you buying them, to be honest? And if that applies to Thiago now, that you're not comfortable playing him in a four anymore because he's lost his yard of pace or whatever, then again, you have to be cutthroat and you have to drop him and tell him why and do that. I know he's like obviously our only player really with proper experience. I suppose Chilwell does too, and Enzo obviously won a World Cup, but he's still 22, whatever he is. So that those are little things, little tweaks. I think I hope Poch will have spotted something and, you know, make a couple changes here and there. But yeah, you know, it's not all doom and gloom, obviously. As we've said, it is early days. These results will happen, but it's about kind of making sure that they don't keep happening. We don't go on a horrible run during our supposed good run of fixtures, because we do have a nasty run of games coming up in about a month or so time, where, you know, if we're kind of getting through that with losses at, you know, to Forest, and then we draw to Bournemouth, and then you're kind of getting into Arsenal, and they're like, oh God, where do we go here? So we, you know, we need to get some confidence up, and the only way of doing that is playing the players who need the confidence and letting them get accustomed to it. So yeah, I would go to a proper four. I'd play Madueke or Mudryk. I'd let them play. I'd let Palmer play. And I'd basically go back to pre-season, but just get used to it without Nkunku until January.
Okay, yeah, you know, when you were just talking about that fixture list, that gets quite hard, because there's a lot of people panicking about that today on Twitter. And I actually look at that fixture list and think, oh, that suits us far more. That suits us far. Our issue is, honestly, if you sit behind the ball, you've done 90% of the job against us, I think. I think most teams that sit behind the ball come away with a result against us, really. And that's been over, like Louis said, that's been since the Sig Smoking Man. That's been a thing for a long, long time. We don't have that quality to break them down to the same extent. But you saw against Liverpool, like we were the better team in that. We were disappointed to walk away with a draw in that, because that's a team that actually wants to attack us. So I'm not actually as worried about those games. It'd be good to build some confidence, like you said before, and it's disappointing to drop points in this run. But, you know, this is about problem solving. This is how they're going to grow. And eventually, you'd like to think if they bought the right players and they play them, they'll get to the point that they can do this in the future and they won't have a problem with any of these games.
Yeah. Well, that's the big thing, is figuring out properly how do you play against a low block? And it shouldn't really have taken it till this game, when you've already lost to West Ham by doing exactly that. Struggled at times against Wimbledon in the first half because they were doing exactly that. And then obviously it's happened again. So hopefully, you know, they need to sit down and properly think, how are we going to do it? How are we going to create chances and score chances and get on top and make a team who's going to low block then come and attack us? And then you open them up, and that's when you start scoring 3, 4, 5, like City do, like Liverpool do, like, well, not so much this season, but Arsenal did a lot last year. And that's just, you know, we are behind those teams by quite a long way, let's be honest, in terms of both age, in terms of profile, and in terms of sort of the journey, despite the money spent and the manager, obviously. So
it's very simple as to how to break those low blocks, and it's breaking the habit of making an extra pass. The amount of times before he came off, I saw Malo Gusto. We did it in pre-season all the time. You have Malo Gusto, whoever it was, waving on the other side of the pitch. One switch, ball changes, the whole team, you break the shift, you break the shape, because the team has to shift across. But instead of doing that, we made one extra pass every single time. We'd go inside to Enzo, and then he'd shift it out. It's like, no, you have it in your locker. I'd rather you risk shifting the ball that way and we learn how to deal with a counter attack than making us constantly have to try and move to give people the opportunity to break down and get into the other spaces. You know, that's what we should be doing. We should, instead of sitting there and making an extra pass so Ryan Yates and Cheick Kiyate and whoever can go, yeah, cool, you do that, we're just going to nip back here and have a Solera while we wait for you to get up to our third of the pitch. You know, we need to just have that aggression, and we showed that we did have that. We showed that we had that.
First half, it was quick. It was
exactly
quick, right.
It's all about breaking the habits. But to do that as well, as much as we need these players to learn, I get what you're saying in terms about maybe dropping Thiago. I understand that. You know, I did see
it
a couple of times.
I think he was one of the main culprits for that as well.
He was
extra pass, that extra touch, and it's been that for a while now. As much as I love the bloke, but like this isn't. This isn't something I went into this season not knowing. This is something I was seeing at the back end of last season thinking, I think it's time.
I get that, but then at the same time, all the experience goes. All of it. And I get what we're saying about Ben Chilwell.
The experiences, they're the ones that were adding negativity yesterday. They were the ones that really underperformed drastically more than some of the other players. That was my issue with it. And to be honest, during this season as well, this isn't like Chilwell on this left wing hasn't been working every game. We've all been, every game we've come away going, you know, this isn't something
I get that.
Can't see. I just think Poch, he's got time. He's got an international break and he's got time anyway. Like, okay, there might be a few idiots, like you said, a couple behind you or whatever, but I think the vast majority of people really understand what this project is. I think it's staring you dead in the face with the age profiles they've targeted, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's going to take time. But
I get that, but then
I just don't know what if experience isn't getting us anything now, what's the risk?
Well, it's
what's it giving us?
For me, it's a case of having experience in certain positions. You know, having a whole midfield under 23 is suicide. It is suicide.
But do you think the midfield is the issue when you watch us? No.
You know what? Yeah, a little bit. I'm big on EQ. You know, I think emotional intelligence is something which is massively underestimated in game. In the game, intangibles just in general are massively underestimated. And having somebody in that team other than Thiago Silva, whether it be in the middle of the pitch, whether it be just somewhere within a spine, apart from one man who can lift those players up. I'm sorry, but Enzo, I get he's won a World Cup. It's great for him. It's great. But there are so many young players that have won World Cups as part of squads and gone on and done great things, which I think Enzo will, but he's still a young guy.
But I think he was lifting us out of, like I said, he caused that chance with Jackson. There was also a ball he put in behind for Chilwell that he didn't get on the end of. I think he was one of the only players yesterday. He can't do everything. And
that's the problem.
Doing everything we do going forward.
That's the problem. I'm not talking about the ball playing. I'm talking about, I watched after the game and after the goal went in, I watched him and I watched Thiago Silva. I watched the centre forwards. I watched Sterling. I watched Chilwell. I looked at them all. One was there getting the boys going again. And that was Silva. You need more players like that on a pitch. I get what we're saying about, obviously, that the pace of play is important. I completely get that. I completely understand that. And that is something which we need to consider. But ironically, after spending £1 billion, this whole idea of just signing players under 25 is going to hinder us massively for the next 2-3 years. You need to dip in. When apparently people within the club are saying, yeah, we know we need to sign older players, go and do it. Sign a 26-year-old, 27-year-old. Just somebody who is there but you know has the quality, even if they're knocking around. Again.
Yeah, Tony's that, isn't he?
Tony's that, that's, but then also the one, yeah. there's an irony to what I was saying as a running joke all summer. A player like James Ward-Prowse would have been perfect yesterday. Perfect. Because he is a proper leader. He would be picking people up. And guess what? When you're trying to get through low blocks and set pieces, there is genuinely no one better in the world. So, you know, there's certain things where we need to really look at intangibles. We need to understand that. And if people aren't going to understand that and understand the importance of those intangibles, keep moaning on Twitter, because we're going to be doing this all season. Like I said, it's not going to be every week. We're going to be games like Forest where we could go away to Burnley and absolutely batter it, and it'd be great. But then also, we could end up going looting away and losing 1-0 or getting a 1-1 draw.
It is a game of margins.
Yeah.
Like, even in that, like you said, that first 28 minutes, let's say early on, that cross, I don't know, Jackson or Sterling, whatever, get on the end of it and they go 1-0 up. They probably win that game 3-0 or 4-0. That's the reality of things. But at the moment, it's about building that confidence and those intangibles. Like you said, the more experience these players get, the more experience they'll get with how to get each other up for it. You know, developing a bit of a bond within the team. Like you said, it's a completely fresh team. It's a new canvas. Nothing of Roman's era is present. But it's gonna take time and minutes to get those.
Mm, absolutely. Yeah. Anything you want to add, Tom, before we finish up?
Trust the process. Don't want to sound like an Arsenal fan, but that's where we're at. We are at the position where we are at the beginning of hopefully an exciting journey. We spent a lot of money, but we've got, you know, a new manager. None of these players probably know each other's names yet. You've got about 78 different languages in there, and players who have moved away from their homes around the world. at a young age. It'll take time for them to get used to life in London. So let's support them and get back on track at Bournemouth. Thank you.
Awesome. Sounds good to me. Well, that's it from us for the Chelsea Echo. Good pod, boys. Very constructive. It was quite nice.
It wasn't a lot of laughter, but it felt constructive.
No, boob farts and wee wee. Ha 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 ha. Funniness. No less blue waffle.
Just facts. Yeah.
Less blue waffle. Less paedophile ring. More facts. Welcome to the Chelsea Echo. That's it from us. We're probably going to do we'll do an international break debrief. We have a little plan. We've got something cooking on Thursday. So you guys will probably be seeing that on Friday evening. But we're obviously going to have a little break over the international break unless there's any massive news. It's been a great little journey so far. We've hit a couple of milestones as well within what we're doing. And we're looking forward to it. So if you have enjoyed the pod, please do make sure you give us a 5-star review. Make sure you give everyone a little follow on their socials, which are obviously always at the top of the Chelsea Echo Twitter page. Let's have a little break. Get some rays. Toes be the shagger from MAGA this time next week. And Tom. Man.
Come on. I might be thinking about Chelsea a little bit of sun.
Exactly. But yeah, and then me and Tom are going to probably be doing something else. I don't know. I might just see if there's anything in the corner, wanking. I guess so, potentially. Who knows?
Like your mate on the sofa right now.
he's not there right now. And it was a bit sticky earlier, but who knows? Anyway, at least we got in our ridiculousness at some point. Guys, thank you very much for listening. Take care of yourselves, and we'll see you soon. Ta-da.